rest of the story. Mary's husband was a frequent visitor to the town post office, less for its postal service than for his friendship with a postmaster, Abner Ellis. Often the former would drop by just as Abner was about to close up, and soon the two would be engaged in a meandering conversation. Those talks the men enjoyed were rarely ponderous ones, story-swapping mostly, but then one evening Mary's husband stayed longer than usual. In fact, it was 11 at night when Abner finally suggested the two retire to their separate homes. His friend's face grew suddenly anxious. I hate to go home, he confided. The men were silent for a moment or two. Abner did not ask why his friend hated to go home. He knew why. The whole town knew why. For the kindly, mild-mannered gentleman standing before Abner Ellis was what the rest of us would call a battered husband. Not merely a figure of speech, all of his neighbors and his friends had stories which combined to comprise a mosaic of torment and violence. But that night, the town postmaster learned the rest of the story. One family acquaintance called it a species of madness that had hold of Mary, and at the vortex of that terrifying emotional maelstrom was her poor husband. It started out as marathon episodes of verbal abuse. Sometimes they lasted long into the night, finally drove her husband out into the street where he wandered until morning. Mary's voice was penetrating and shrill, could be heard throughout the neighborhood whenever her uncontrollable rages erupted. It mattered not at all to her what others overheard or even saw. Once her husband was pulling their young son in a little toy wagon, the child toppled out. The boy was utterly unharmed, and yet Mary let loose with a stream of invective that scorched the ears of neighbors and passers-by for blocks around. And things got worse. There was a time Mary's husband had failed to stoke a fire in the fireplace, so she picked up a heavy stick of wood and bludgeoned his face bloody. Mary often struck her husband in the face, and the wounds almost always drew blood. Sometimes she threw scalding coffee in his face, and his unrelenting response to this incessant abuse was to run, to leave the house for the day, for the night, sometimes for several days, depending on the degree of danger to which he was exposed. When he could, he scooped his small son up in his arms and carried him to safety as well. Frequently, the boy and his father were seen in local restaurants, breakfasting solemnly or trudging down the street to Daddy's office. There was a long couch there where the pair sometimes slept. Otherwise, the homes of friends or colleagues served as a haven from Hurricane Mary. And as Abner Ellis listened to his friend's incredible tale, tears welled up in the postmaster's eyes. You must come home with me, he said. Get some supper and spend the night. And Mary's husband gratefully accepted. And thus did he survive from one day, one month, one year to the next, fleeing from verbal threats and wielded weapons. Not even when they moved from the Midwest to the nation's capital did matters improve. For even as the most important man in the land, Mary's husband behind closed doors would never be more than what he had been in Springfield, Illinois, the victim of a species of madness, a cowering, battered spouse. Abraham Lincoln. Now you know the rest of the story.